I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered. For just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Tracy B. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
So we have our second shipwreck story in as many weeks.
Huzzah!
And the Batavia was not just a shipwreck. It's a shipwreck and a mutiny and also a massacre. So this perfect storm of nautical carnage.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
As
you were researching, Tracy would keep sending me these instant messages of like, this is crazy. It's because everything new she would uncover would add another layer of insanity to it.
Yeah. It just escalates and escalates. And there are a couple of notes that we're going to just lay out in the beginning. And the first is the names in this episode. So the main cast of characters in this story came from what's now the Netherlands and Belgium. And at this point in history, the Dutch didn't generally use surnames the way most of us are used to today. Instead of established surnames that were passed down through the family and stayed the same, people had patronymic names, which came from their father's first names. So Adrian Jacobs, who was our ship's skipper, was Jacob's son, Adrian. And his father would have been Jacob somebody else's son.
Mm-hmm.
But then our ship's upper merchant, Francisco Pelsert, he was from Antwerp, and he had a more typical a family surname that we would expect to see today, which was Pelsert. So for the sake of consistency, we're just going to call everybody the equivalent of what their surname was, because it gets a little confusing.
Yeah.
The other note is that you may notice as you are listening to this episode and the next one, because the story is so big, it's in two parts. The number of passengers and crew on the boat, these numbers don't seem to quite add up all the time. And this is because as the voyage went on, people were born, other people died. Sometimes crew just went AWOL when the ship would stop to take on supplies somewhere. People would just decide they were done with this mess and they would go away. Even the starting number of people on board is not totally clear because there were some last minute no-shows and people who just never reported for duty. So if you're doing the math on this episode and you kind of go, with these numbers, these don't sync. That is why. So today's episode is going to be about the first part of the voyage, the shipwreck, and the rescue mission that happened afterward. And then our next episode will be about sort of what happened to the survivors while their bosses were away trying to get help. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. So this whole story starts with the Dutch East India Company, or in Dutch, the Verenigde Oostindische Compagnie. I practiced that. I probably still did not say it perfectly. So we're just going to call them the VOC, which is what that boils down to. So the VOC was dominating trade in the East Indies, which is basically Indonesia and the surrounding islands, in the 17th and 18th centuries. It became this political and commercial powerhouse, and it sent ships from the Netherlands to Asia to buy things like spices and silk, and then to return to Europe to sell them. And the VOC was headquartered in Batavia, which is what's now Jakarta in Indonesia.
One of the VOC's ships, which was also called the Batavia, left Texel, Holland on its maiden voyage to Batavia in October of 1628. And its cargo included an enormous amount of silver and jewels. The ship also carried materials for a gatehouse which was to be built at VOC headquarters.
In command of the Batavia was the upper merchant, also called the supercargo, and this was a man named Francisco Pelsert. And he was one of the most experienced merchants in the Dutch East India Company's fleet. He was also very fond of women and money, and at one point, sort of extraneous to this story, set himself up as a moneylender using company funds while charging people extremely steep interest. This was something that was discovered after the end of the Batavia story, but it kind of clues you in to a little about this man's character.
I'm willing to misappropriate company funds. That's no problem.
Right.
Next in command was the ship's skipper, Adrian Jacobs, who was a sea captain with more than 20 years of experience. And he was in a rather awkward leadership position because in any other nautical context, he would be the one ultimately in charge. However, on a VOC ship, he reported up to the upper merchant, who was a merchant and not a seaman.
This is pretty much how things worked. In most of the big trading companies, you would have somebody who was ultimately in charge, whose job was to safeguard the financial interests of the company. Everyone ultimately reported to this person, even though this person did not necessarily know how to sail a ship. So that led to some headbutting in many contexts, not just this one.
I imagine we have several listeners at the moment thinking that this is very similar to some corporate cultures.
Yeah.
Not ours, I'm happy to report.
But
it does happen. I mean, I've certainly been in companies where the person in charge doesn't really know how anything works.
Yeah. I temped one time for a company where there was somebody who was in charge of IT who had a history degree, and they had
he'd
been hired because he was a people manager, but the people who were working in IT found that very frustrating.
Yep.
So Jacobs and Pelsert had actually sailed together before, and they had never really gotten along. And their headbutting only got worse after this incident on a voyage where Pelsert was traveling as a guest. Jacobs had gotten extremely drunk and insulted him in a very loud way. And that ship's upper merchant had given Jacobs a really public reprimand. And Jacobs always blamed Pelsert for having gotten him dressed down in front of everybody.
Always a good relationship to start a long voyage with.
Always good to blame other people for your own behavior.
Third in command was the under-merchant, Euronymous Cornelis, who had very little experience at sea. And we'll talk a little bit more about his backstory as we go on, because it becomes really, really relevant later on in the tale.
Yeah, his story is really relevant to part two, so it's in part two of the episode.
Gotcha.
So, also on board the Batavia were about 340 other people, and about two-thirds of them were officers and crew of the ship. There are also about 100 soldiers, along with some civilians, seeking passage to the Indies, and some of these were women and children. These were mostly families of VOC employees or other people who were going to join their family in the Indies. And before we talk about the voyage itself, shall we take a moment and talk about a word from our sponsor?
Capital idea.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. Say goodbye to complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping, and say hello to an advantage with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Every business faces challenges, but shipping shouldn't be one of them. So keep things simple with clear, upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges for Saturday deliveries, residential deliveries, or fuel. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there, helping you counter the rising costs of doing business with a budget-friendly alternative. And keep things reliable with on-time ground shipping, ensuring your shipments get to where they need to go while maintaining your hard-earned reputation. USPS Ground Advantage is your ticket to easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. It's the complete delivery service your business needs to rise above the competition. There's never been a better time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And now we will get back to the journey of the Batavia.
The Batavia left Texel in a convoy of 7 ships, but at the very start of the voyage, they went through a huge storm in the North Sea, and most of the ships lost sight of each other. Only 3 of them managed to find one another again once the weather had improved. The Batavia, Assendelft, and the Buren sailed on together toward South Africa.
These 3 ships made really good time. They got to the Cape of Good Hope an entire month ahead of schedule. But on board the Batavia, the under-merchant Cornelis and the shipper Jacobs started to conspire to commit mutiny. They also drew the ship's high bosun into their plot as well. And so as the ship departed from South Africa, in order to further their plan of mutiny, Jacobs deliberately steered the ship away from the 2 remaining ones in the convoy, and so the Batavia wound up going on the rest of its journey alone.
And then, during the last stretch of the Batavia's route northward through the Indian Ocean, upper merchant Pelsert became seriously ill and had to be confined to his cabin under the care of the surgeon Franz Jans. At this point, Jacobs and Cornelis put their plotting on hold. They were kind of enjoying Pelsert's absence and biding their time and waiting to see if he would just die and leave the ship in their hands.
Yeah,
they weren't sort of an interesting attitude to have about it.
They weren't going to have to put the effort into staging a mutiny if the, you know, the upper merchant was just going to die.
Yeah, it takes some work.
Yeah. So, sadly, thwarting their plans, eventually Pelsert recovered. And when it became clear that he was going to live, Jacobs and Cornelis realized that they had wasted some time in getting their whole mutiny plan off the ground. They hadn't recruited enough men to physically take over the ship from the people who would be loyal to the upper merchant. So they decided to have another ploy. They conspired to have a wealthy female passenger named Lucretia Jans, or you also see her named as Lucretia Vandermillion, which was her husband's last name. They conspired to have her sexually assaulted by masked members of the crew.
And Jans was traveling to Batavia to join her husband, and her station was high enough that she had one of the best cabins on the ship and her own maid. And by attacking someone so prominent, they hoped to lure Pelser into punishing those responsible, which they hoped would trigger a revolt among the rest of the skipper's team. It seemed like a sure thing after Jans said she recognized the voice of one of her attackers, and it was the High Bosun. What a horrible plan.
It was not a good plan. In every possible respect. It was not good to plan to do that in the first place. And it also, on top of that being a terrible thing to do, didn't work. Pelser investigated the incident. He accepted her assessment of who had attacked her. He didn't punish anybody. Part of this is because he was still pretty sick, even though he was now recovering. And he also was starting to suspect that maybe there was something bigger going on and that he should not get involved in it quite yet until he had a better sense of exactly what was happening.
Yeah, so he was kind of keeping his cards close to his vest, so to speak.
Yeah.
Like he didn't want to incite the riot that he thought might be coming.
No.
But before they could come up with some other ploy to bring the upper merchant down, the mutineers' plan was spectacularly derailed because the ship was wrecked.
Yes. Before we tell the story of the wreck, let's take another moment for another word from our sponsor.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Now back to our story. On June 4th, 1629, a couple of hours before dawn, Pelsert, who at this point was still not well, he was in his bunk but awake, he felt a, quote, rough, terrible movement, the bumping of the ship's rudder. And then he felt the ship strike rocks so hard that he was knocked out of his bunk. Because they were not really anticipating that they were suddenly going to run into land, they were traveling at full speed when they struck this reef, and huge waves and a bit really heavy wind continued to just pound on the ship and push it harder and harder against the rock.
Pelsert ran on deck to see that there were breakers all around them. And according to his journal, he said to Jacobs, "Skipper, what have you done that through your reckless carelessness you have run this noose round our necks?"
The crew really scrambled to try to lighten the ship. They threw cannons overboard, they felled the masts, and they started sounding the depths to try to find a way that they might be able to work the ship back into deeper water, but it was no use. The ship was stuck, and on top of that, they really didn't know where they were. This part of the sea was virtually uncharted by Europeans at this point, and on top of all that, when they felled the mainmast of the ship, it came down in a different direction than they were expecting, and it crushed everything in its path all the way down. So their effort to lighten the ship just broke it worse.
It was only after some discussion that Pelsert and Jacobs decided they must be in the Houtman Abrolhos Islands, which is a long chain of islands about 40 kilometers off the western coast of Australia. Their name comes from Portuguese, Abrolhos, or open eyes, and it got its name after the Dutch East India Company vessel Dordrecht stumbled upon them about 10 years earlier. And the crew believed that they were in open ocean, and then suddenly reef and islands were everywhere. And these islands are, as you can imagine, treacherous for ships. More than 60 vessels are known to have been lost among them. And at this point in history, Europeans had not explored or charted all of this. And they are so far off the coast that they were likely completely unexplored by Australia's Aboriginal peoples as well. So kind of just a big mystery danger sitting out there in the ocean.
Yeah, that's why they got that name, about keeping your eyes open.
Yeah.
There's another collection of islands off the coast of South America with the same name for the same reason, like people venturing into them believing they were in totally open ocean, and then whoa,
not so much.
Islands everywhere. So after the wreck, about 180 people were removed from the ship and taken away in boats. This included about 30 women and children, and about 70 men stayed on board, including under merchant Cornelis.
Most of the survivors made their way to an island which was later named Beacon Island, while the commander, the captain, and about 40 other men went to an island that was nearer the shipwreck, and that later came to be known as Traitor's Island. With the party split up this way, the majority of the survivors, at this point very panicked and in poor health from the length of their journey, were on an island by themselves, and no one was really in charge.
Yeah, you had basically civilians and the rank-and-file crew off on an island by themselves.
With no leadership.
No leadership. And on top of that, no supplies. So the men who stayed on board the Batavia, who were overall the seediest and most disreputable of everyone on board, largely amused themselves by drinking, plundering the ship's stores, looting things for themselves, and attacking anybody who came to the ship to try to salvage supplies from it.
Delightful. The crew did manage to get some provisions off the ship, but it was not enough to sustain them for very long. And these islands were basically barren. There were some birds, there were some fish, and there were some sea lions that they could eat, but almost nothing in the way of water or shelter. So it was more like they were stuck on a big chunk of coral and rock just sticking out of the ocean.
And because this larger group of survivors just became more and more desperate as time went on, the officers started to balk at the idea of trying to get supplies from the ship to the island where most of the survivors were. It started to become really risky. Like, there was a genuine risk that panicked survivors were going to mob the boat and capsize it and possibly destroy the cargo or the boat itself, or kill the crew. So after a while, it was sort of like, we're just We're just not going to mess with them on that island because we're scared of them. This is, see, it just keeps getting worse.
I know, it's awful. There are so many just callous and horrible moves made along the way that it's hard to.
Yeah.
You don't, there's not really a lot of people to root for. The officers debated at this point what to do, because staying where they were seemed completely hopeless. Once the storms that had driven them into the islands cleared, they didn't have a source of fresh water unless it started raining again. And they would need just enough to provide water without threatening their lives. Or, an equally unlikely scenario, if the hull of the ship broke apart and the current happened to carry all of the ship's stores directly to the islands, they might get some relief. So what they did was they decided to start scouting the islands and the mainland for sources of water.
So Pelsert, most of the officers, and some crew and passengers, including two women and a baby, went searching for water. This wasn't really Pelsert's idea. He was sort of feeling like at this point it was his job to stay with the survivors and to die with them if that was what happened. His job as upper merchant also involved the responsibility for making sure the cargo stayed safe, and so he was really reluctant to leave it behind. Like, his priority was definitely more on the cargo than the people in terms of his job description. But some of the sailors were pretty set on trying to save themselves at whatever cost, and so ultimately he went with them in the ship's longboat.
48 total people went to look for water while the rest stayed behind. Pretty much the only senior officer that was not among the scouting party was Euronymous Cornelis, back aboard the Batavia.
Their four-day search for water was fruitless. And finally, Pelsert decided that the only possible way that they were going to get out of this mess was to go to Batavia for help. So they took their longboat, which was about 30 feet long, and they crossed 900 nautical miles of the open Indian Ocean.
Imagine Australia on a map. So the Hutman Abrolhos Islands are about halfway down the straightish part of the western coast of Australia. Batavia is in Indonesia, and in between them is just this long expanse of the Indian Ocean. And that is what they were crossing.
Yes.
In a longboat.
In a longboat. That had like 10 pairs of oars, I think. There are some shipwreck and mutiny survival stories that involve longer ocean crossings in remarkably small craft than this. But still, the fact that there were just all these people packed in the boat, including two women and a baby, is astounding to me.
Yeah.
So to cut this part of the long story short, they made it. It took them 33 days to get there. When they did get there, after 33 days across the ocean open, they had less than 2 pints of fresh water left.
And once they got to Batavia, Pelsert charged the ship's high bosun for outrageous behavior before the wreck, because remember, he was implicated in the sexual assault of a passenger, and he was executed. And Skipper Jacobs was arrested for negligence in causing the wreck. Pelsert gathered supplies and boarded the yacht Tsardom, and they headed back to find the survivors.
It took them 63 days to find them again. So basically twice as long.
Just months and months of misery.
Yeah. So a whole lot happened on the island in this 3-month period between when Pelsert left and when he got back with help.
And probably survivors didn't even know they were heading out across the Indian Ocean to begin with.
They had no idea.
So they were just there 3 months, not knowing what was going on.
Believing they had been abandoned. And that is the story that we are going to talk about in the next episode. Because as I discovered as I was researching this crazy story, that
they get long and involved.
They do.
When you're taking a longboat across the Indian Ocean.
And when there is a shipwreck and a mutiny and a massacre.
Yeah.
So we're going to continue the mutiny and massacre part of this story in our next episode.
In the meantime, do you have listener mail?
I do have some listener mail. Our listener mail is actually 2 comments from our Facebook page. In response to our recent episode about crucifixion in Greece and Rome. The first is from Tony, and Tony says, kind of sad that you continue to push the myth that Jesus existed. You admit there is no contemporary accounts for his, quote, life, but revert to the Christo-normative position that he was real. Sad position for, quote, historians. And the other is from Susanna, who says, considering that there's zero evidence outside of the New Testament, which was assembled beginning 115 AD, of the existence of Christ at all, I find it difficult to buy any allegations that he was crucified. So, I responded to both of these on our Facebook page. But this is actually something that you and I talked about when we were recording whether we should address. Because we talk about Jesus in a couple of places in our episode on crucifixion. We don't really talk about, like, Jesus as a historical figure.
Yeah, because that really, I mean, while that we mentioned in the episode, that was, is the most famous one everyone knows about.
Right.
That really wasn't what the episode was about. It was about the practice that was taboo, but still very common.
And right.
You kind of can't talk about that without at least mentioning the Jesus element.
And the general consensus among modern historians is that that Jesus is a real person who lived. That's pretty much the general consensus of today's scholars of history. There are some people who debate this idea based on some of the things that these couple of people commented on our Facebook page. But my point, and the point that I made several times, is that this same exact trait, like there's not a first person eyewitness account of Jesus written down during his lifetime, right?
Yeah.
That is the case for many, many figures in antiquity.
Yeah.
So if your rule for deciding that a person is real, if that's your standard for what you need to have to believe that a person is real, you're discounting many, many historical figures from Greece and Rome. You're also discounting the entire histories of cultures that kept their histories orally rather than writing them down.
Yeah, that often were written down by later culture when they either had it relayed to them or discovered some element of that culture. So you can't kind of erase anything just because there's not a first-person contemporary account for it.
So, if you would like to write to us on this or any other topic, you can. We're at historypodcast@discovery.com. We're also on Twitter at MistInHistory, and our Tumblr is mistinhistory.tumblr.com. Our Pinterest is pinterest.com/mistinhistory, and we have our very own website now at www.mistinhistory.com. If you would like to learn a little more about one of the things we talked about in this episode, come to our website, our other website, howstuffworks.com. Put how to survive a shipwreck into the search bar and you will find how to survive a shipwreck. Very helpful to read in advance before you get on the ship. Just to put you out there. Be safe. You can do all that and a whole lot more at howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Monsters do exist in this place.
Animal Planet's River Monsters returns with an all-new season.
The Amazon, the one place whose mysteries keep calling me back.
Look at that for a fish!
Here, I've seen many monsters.
Those teeth!
But I've yet to see...
There it is.
My last...
River Monsters, Sunday nights at 9, starting April 6th. Animal Planet, surprisingly human.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.